So, you know, it seems like there's a big party going on these days. Everybody says, what's your email address? What's your email address? Hey, everybody, I'll email you. I don't have an email. What's this? You know, like that, and you feel left out, you've been confused, it's too expensive or something. Well, now good news, there's a computer so easy, 10 minutes out of the box, you're onto the internet, you're emailing everybody, you're part of the party. It's as easy as licking a stamp.
Hello, and welcome to the CoCast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Eric and Elijah. Joining me today, one Mr. L. Caney Leander.
Hey,
you know him? You love him. It's the Canester. Buster Heine's joining us.
Hey, man.
Buster, how are you?
I'm pretty good.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. Let's see, there was one more person. Oh, Alex! Oh,
shut up.
Alex is here. I almost forgot about Alex Celsior Heath. I don't know how I could do that. Alex!
Hi.
Welcome!
Hey.
How's it going, gang?
Awesome.
Does anyone have any secret news they want to share with anyone on the show? Leander?
No.
You don't
no.
have anything? Oh, okay.
Nope, nothing at all.
I thought you had something that you wanted to divulge, no?
Okay.
Stay tuned for the last segment of the show, Secrets Leander Doesn't Want You to Know.
You'll have to get a few ales with me for that.
Yeah, that's right. We should have a show that we do where it's just we have drinks Stella's. With Leander and then just let him talk about stuff. We'll call it Chug and Chat with L. Caney. It'll be the most interesting podcast that's on iTunes right now. We have a great show plan for you guys today. We're going to be talking a little bit about Star Wars here in a minute because I can't let you guys go without having you tell me what you thought about that Star Wars trailer that just got released. I know this is an Apple show, but hey, why not? Slow news week. The Woz is getting his own reality show TV. His own reality TV show, rather. And I can't wait to hear what you guys think about that. I couldn't even believe that was true. We're going to be doing an all-new under-review apps edition, so we'll be talking about our home screen heroes, the apps that we keep on our home screen. Ignore my dog barking in the background. That must mean the UPS guy is here. And she'll stop once he leaves. Can you guys hear that?
Yeah.
How does that happen right when we start the show? It's like clockwork every time. And stay tuned. We're going to be doing an all-new Get to Know Your Cultist at the end of the show. And we're going to go through a bunch of questions this time. We ask people to submit questions, our listeners, on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast. And we got so many great ones. I just thought we could cruise through a bunch of them. So we'll do that at the end of the show. Before we hop into all the fun, I want to thank Boom 2, made by Global Delight, for supporting this episode. You know, it's funny. Boom 2 is an app that you can put on your Mac, and it offers system-wide volume boosting. So if you're watching a video on YouTube and you turn your volume up all the way, and it's still not loud enough, well, Boom 2 will allow you to actually increase the volume even more. It also increases the fidelity of the audio that you're listening to in Netflix and YouTube and Spotify and whatever you're listening to, iTunes. It makes your audio sound better. It allows you to churn up your audio even louder than it normally is. And it's an app that I actually talked about on a podcast I used to do called User Friendly for all you previous User Friendly listeners. Keep it friendly. And we talked about this app, gosh, like a year ago. And now it's even better. They've added a ton more features. It's been localized. It's in German, Spanish, French, Italian, Dutch, and 5 other languages. And you could try it out yourself for free. Head on over to bit.ly/cultcastboom. And you can download the app, try it out for free for 7 days. And if you like it, you can get 20% off a license using code CULTCAST at checkout. That code's valid through December, by the way. That's bit.ly/cultcastboom. It reminds me of the Sonic Boom from Street Fighter. Anybody? Guile? Buster? No one?
Round one, fight!
What are you talking about?
No Street Fighter fans here?
No.
Yeah.
Some of the references that I make are so universal, truly shocked that Alex, you were probably like 6 months old when that game came out.
Yeah, probably.
So you didn't ever get to play it. But Street Fighter is a pretty popular video game. I mean, I can't believe none of you guys know what it is.
I know what Street Fighter is. I just don't remember all the characters. I know like Ryu and Ken and Hadouken. That's about it.
Hadouken?
Sonic Boom.
Sonic Boom. Never mind. Anyway, one of the best characters in the game. I always use Guile. Anyway, let's Let's talk about that new Star Wars trailer first. Did you guys all see it?
There has been an awakening. Have you felt it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Like 7 times.
So, did everyone like it?
Yeah. Oh. I was watching all the animated GIFs they made out of it.
Oh, were there a bunch of animated GIFs? People were pretty pissed about that lightsaber.
But that lightsaber is stupid.
Oh, you wholeheartedly disagree.
Yeah, you didn't see Stephen Colbert's diss on.
No, I've got to say, I'm gonna watch it.
Oh, it's brilliant, actually. He convinced me that it's not stupid anymore, actually.
So when you first saw it, Buster, first of all, we should mention, if you haven't seen the new Star Wars trailer on YouTube, it's there. Check it out. Yeah, go stop this. Go check it out. It's in the show notes. Just click on the link. You'll watch it. It's really short too. So that lightsaber scene I thought was really cool the first time I saw it. So you guys saw it and were thinking that doesn't look very cool at all.
Yeah, I was like, that's just gonna get chopped off in the first duel, man. Yeah, man. Like,
you're gonna chop off your own arms.
It's a sword made of light. How is it gonna get chopped off?
Well, because my assumption was that they were like little mini nub sabers for some reason.
What?
Once I was educated by Dr. Stephen Colbert, and he informed me that it's really one uniform beam, and the metal is there so that the wielder doesn't get his hands sliced.
Oh, so you were thinking like those little things on the side were going to get chopped off.
Yeah, you could just chop them off because then you just have the main saber, but it's all one. So if somebody did like try to chop it off, their blade would stop at like the beam right there.
Well, it's a handguard.
Well, I get that it's a handguard, but I didn't understand how it would work. But I understand the physics now.
And what's the deal with that constipated stormtrooper at the beginning?
Hey, everyone gets constipated once in a while.
It looks like he's about to shite in his suit.
It looks like his LSD just kicked in at the very beginning.
Tripping on Tatooine.
He's tripping bad.
That's the subtitle, Star Wars Tripping on Tatooine.
Yeah. That's the character I think I'm most excited about is what happens with him.
Well, that first dude.
He's an awesome actor. Yeah, I like him a lot.
Okay, but what about the X-Wing scene where they're flying over water? Is it water or dirt? I couldn't tell, but there's some kind of spray up. It's like either water or dust going into the air.
Wow.
When I saw that, I literally said wow out loud, and I got chills really badly. Anyone else?
That was all right.
See, but not for me, but yeah.
My biggest question is why there are stormtroopers to begin with, because in Return of the Jedi, the Empire is disbanded.
Disbanded. I mean,
yeah, the Empire's defeated.
Just the Emperor and Darth Vader are defeated. Which would got so many Grand Moffs that are probably fighting for control of the Imperial forces that are spread across the galaxy.
It's
a massive galaxy. They were all at the Death Star.
No. Palpatine was the head. He's dead. Vader was the second.
And then you got all
he's
these
dead.
But then you got all the Grand Moffs that are going to be fighting.
Wow, I had no idea Buster was so intricately aware of the Star Wars lore.
There's a power vacuum essentially.
The Death Star blew up
automatically. Founded.
So you're telling me when the two heads of the Sith and the Death Star blow up that the Empire is somehow still going to be in control? There's no way.
I'm not saying they're in control, but I'm saying there's still going to be a power. They're still vying for power in the galaxy because an army that is still controlled by their generals, man.
Their allegiance is ultimately to Palpatine. And
no,
when
it's not. There's this to the Empire. It's to the Empire, man.
The Emperor.
What's the head of the... Yeah.
That's how an Empire works.
And then once the head of the Empire dies,
somebody
else emerges. No,
do you remember Rome?
You have all this. I can't argue with somebody so as Alex, man. It just doesn't get it.
You can't have a battle of wits with an unarmed man. It's just not fair. I just gotta say, I'm impressed, Buster. Golf clap to you, sir. Not that you were right or wrong. I just had no idea that you knew so much about Star Wars. I didn't expect any kind of passionate argument from anyone about this trailer, let alone you. You're pretty hardcore. You must do some serious role playing at home,
man.
Oh, all the time. I had the stormtrooper armor here in my house, dude.
Buster's really into LARPing. I had no idea.
I still have all the trading cards, man. I was so
bigger Star Wars fan, man.
Oh, I am, man.
So everyone's excited to see it. Right. I'm assuming.
I think it looks cool, yeah.
Yeah, Return of Form, right?
And oh, like man. Millennium Falcon scene, that one was awesome.
The entire thing I thought was incredible. J.J. Abrams has, I think from this trailer, he's illustrated, he's going to do what he did with Star Trek, which I thought he totally revitalized those movies in a very, very good way. And I love those new movies just almost as much as I love the old ones, I would say. So now I'm more excited than ever because this had a serious... This could have sucked really bad. You know, you could have seen it and it could have been like people rolling through the grass fields again and cheesy love scenes and
the return of Jar Jar Binks.
there was a pretty funny parody, right? It was like as if Lord Lucas had done it.
Yeah.
Lord Lucas. Right. They'd loaded it up with, cuddly characters, and there was all kinds of, like, extra spaceships going all 8 different directions and, you know, way too much CGI.
Hey, you know what? You put Natalie Portman in it, I'll see it.
Well, she's going to be in the Jobs movie. Yeah. She's too busy.
Is she going to be in the Jobs movie?
Yeah, that came out right before Thanksgiving.
Really?
She might play the Ice Queen, Katie Cotton.
No.
Really? I thought she was going to play the daughter.
Or the daughter, yeah.
Or the daughter,
She kind of resembles the daughter a little bit.
Yeah.
I think.
Or Katie Cotton, one or the other.
Katie Cotton's got blonde hair.
There's some pretty funny jokes about her playing Jobs.
She's awfully talented. She might be able to pull it off.
She'd do it better than Kutcher, so.
Well, yeah. Oh. That goes without saying. Or do we know any other characters or actors for the Jobs movie?
Well, the guy with the lightsaber, isn't that the guy from Girls?
Yeah, he
is. Lena Dunham's boyfriend? I forget his name.
Well, we don't know that he's the one with the lightsaber, but...
That's like the rumor. Yeah.
I like that movement so much when he sort of goes, cool. Jerks down and the sword comes out.
Whoa.
Keep it clean. Calm down
over there. Wow.
Well, I watched the gif of that. Like, him, the way
fully
he moved.
Torqued.
I thought it was amazing movement. Very gymnastic.
I know how much you're into gymnastics too. So from you, that's high praise. Yeah, I was just totally blown out of the water when I saw that trailer. Do we know when this movie comes out?
December next year.
December of next year. So they probably just film or wrapped up on production.
They just wrapped. Yeah. Okay. They got a year of post. And,
which is going to be when they put actually all the movie content in. It's probably just all green screen. And now
he actually didn't do that much green screen. He's tried to do as little as possible. So
that's a pretty funny mistake in that trailer. Do you see it with the that thing that sped off across the desert?
Yeah.
When the first shot, it shows her climbing on. And there's a big bar right in front of her. That's part of the speeder. And then when it cuts to the next shot where it speeds off, it's conspicuously absent.
Whoa!
Well, what if it's just like a kickstand?
No. You can see it's a mistake. Yeah. Someone pointed it out in the CGI.
Oh, you didn't spot that yourself?
No. It was one of these GIF things. I watched these. I was looking at all these posts with all the GIFs. they had everything on repeat, right? And then you can really that's the beauty of it because you can really dial in, you know, like in really intense detail.
Like that constipated stormtrooper when his face comes up, right? Over and over, and then you're like, I got to take a poop,
but I can't. It's so painful. Okay, cool. Well. Let's move on to some actual Apple news, shall we? I didn't realize we're going to spend.
Well, that crashed Apple's iTunes service, didn't it, on Saturday morning or Friday?
Because
morning.
People were watching
is that
it.
What was going on?
Yeah, and there was all this like you know, what's the word? Another word for the word that begins with B that is PG friendly. A lot of complaining about it.
Some blame gaming.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, there was a lot of that.
Yeah,
but then it went up on YouTube, and was that part of the deal, or did someone just post it up?
I think it was the official trailer.
Right.
Yeah. So people were using Apple service to watch the trailer, and it crashed Apple servers.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, how come Apple servers can't deal with massive amounts of traffic?
I don't know.
You would think that they would have this locked down. They have their streaming events whenever they do one of their events and people watch. There's always major problems with their servers. And yet big companies like Amazon, like Google, YouTube, which is owned by Google, they never have any problems.
True.
I pose that question to you, Leander. In great detail, what's your answer?
I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, we had our own problems. It's not as easy as it looks, but
I thought you just put a computer in, you just buy something from Dell, you plug it in, and it's done. Right. Is that not the way it works?
No, not at all.
Oh, wow. I had it way backward. Let's talk about some iPhone 6. Well, kind of news. I thought this was really funny. Bustier, I will take this to you. According to Bing, what was the top search for 2014?
iPhone 6.
You know why? It's integrated in iOS. That's why.
Bing is.
iPhone 6?
Yeah.
Oh, Bing is?
Yeah. iPhone 6 is integrated into iPhone 6 as well.
And there was a report that either Bing or Yahoo will replace Google search in Safari next year.
Do you guys like Bing search?
It's not
bad. I
never
use it.
I'll tell you what's actually surprisingly good is DuckDuckGo, the one they added in iOS 8 in Yosemite. It's like a private. It doesn't track you. Like, that's their big deal. But their interface is actually really nice, and it's really fast.
I haven't had a lot of good luck with Bing search. I find a lot of time Google, I think you realize how good Google search is when you use a search engine that doesn't work as well as Google. And I've used Bing quite a few times. Now it's being integrated into other platforms. So, you know, you use it by accident sometimes. And it just doesn't necessarily find me what I'm looking for all that often.
It's got this weird thing where no matter what you search it, like a picture of Steve Ballmer is like at the top.
Well, if that were happening on my end, I would actually be really into that.
Yeah.
Steve Ballmer found you this, and it presents all your different listings. Right. So their top search term of 2014, Buster, was iPhone and then some other like popular tech products?
Yeah, that was in the tech category. They didn't actually say what the top was, probably because it was the iPhone 6 or Kim Kardashian. Probably. Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, close second iPhone 6.
But yeah, they said Xbox was another one. There were no Android phones, which I kind of thought that was a little bit conspicuous because I don't think anybody's Googling for Windows phone more than Android. But Fitbit was also on top there.
And the Samsung Galaxy S5 didn't even place in the top 10, you said. I've heard that phone is really struggling. Like, Samsung is just not really selling it nearly as many as they thought they were going to.
Yeah, and then there's a rumor that for the S6, they're planning to, like, completely redesign it. So they're not totally copying Apple, probably, maybe. But I don't know. I think that they've definitely been hurting.
Well, I'll believe that when I see it. Let's talk about one of my favorite characters, the Woz. Apparently, he's going to be getting his own reality TV show. I'm gonna need to get cable if this is true. And he's gonna be exploring new tech products with Carrie Byron, who was one of the co-hosts of MythBusters.
That's what happens when when you go on the Cultcast, you get a reality TV show later.
Yeah, well, I've been offered several, but I'm very loyal to doing this show.
And what was the what's the premise of the show? What are they going to be doing?
Kind of sounds like a cool premise. So according to Gizmodo, they got a press release leaked to them. They're going to travel the globe and test futuristic gadgets. And then...
Like the iPhone?
Maybe.
They said it's like really... sounded like it was supposed to be like sci-fi type stuff, you know, like borderline. But I don't know. There wasn't a ton of information. We emailed Woz, but he didn't reply to us. He did demo a high-tech hotel door room key that got some rave reviews on Cult of Mac. So I think there's high hopes for it.
Yeah, people were really into that post. No flaming there at all. Actually, I think this show is really interesting. I would definitely want to watch it because I'm into futuristic gadgets. And you know who? They better find a really good editor for this show.
That's what I was going to say.
Because
they won't have any trouble filling airtime.
having had Woz on this show, I can speak from experience. Lovable man. Everyone knows that. But boy, does he know how to talk.
It's an art form.
They're gonna have to edit out for every hour of footage you see in that show. There's gonna be 10 hours of footage that was cut out, I think, because Woz loves to talk and he is so into technology. He obviously has lots of stuff to talk about. He probably has every gadget on Earth. So
two of every
gadget. He uses them while he's on his like little hoverboard and all his little like cool gadgets that he gets to ride around his house. But I wonder what Carrie Byron's role is going to be, because I don't know if she's going to get to say anything.
I know.
She's going to be like Vanna White. She's going to hold up the product and just kind of like display it with her hand. And then Woz is going to go off on it and just talk about it for an hour. Do we know when this is going to get broadcast, Buster?
No, they're supposedly pitching it to Discovery and a couple other channels, but they haven't said anything about it yet.
Okay. Do we even know for sure if this is going to be a real thing?
Yeah, we don't. I mean, they could have just made a pilot and are pitching it around.
Oh, so we don't know if it's actually going to get made.
Yeah, it hasn't been officially announced or anything.
Well, hopefully we get to see some of Waz's fantastic dance moves on the show.
I know I've watched him in Dancing with the Stars, but he wasn't kicked out the first round, was he?
I thought he made it pretty far.
No, yeah. No way.
Didn't he start dating Kathy Griffith after... Is her name Griffith or Griffin after that show?
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
Wow. Ladies man. Talking her ear off. Got a date. Close case. All righty. Well, let's move on to Under Review, Apps Edition. I've been thinking we could talk a little bit about some of the apps that we've been testing out, guys. Let's just do one, yeah? Since we're going to be doing Get to Know Your Cultist and we got a bunch of questions to run through. And I got a pretty good one, but as the gentleman here, I would give you guys the opportunity to go first. Does anyone want to go first with their app? Don't all jump in at once.
Mm.
Hold on. Leander, do you have something?
What?
You're probably thinking about what you're going to talk about right now. At this
right,
moment.
Exactly. Okay. I was just quickly desperately looking something up.
Alex, do you have anything?
Yeah, I've got apps. I got apps on apps, man.
Dude, talk about one that you're really enjoying lately.
Okay. Well, it came out today, so fitting. Real Mac Software, they make like the Clear To-Do app and a bunch of other great apps, but they have a new markdown editor for the Mac out called Typed.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started recently getting into markdown. I'm not like Charlie where I'm like a freak at it, but I'm like trying to get into it. But it's basically, it's a syntax that allows you to write easily for the web, like in mm-hmm. HTML.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a really clean, slick, minimal. It's even got this like Zen soundtrack thing where it plays this really ambient music that is kind of strangely focusing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really pretty. And then I use it to write, you know, my long form articles for Cult of Mac and like the web and stuff. Cause you can export to HTML and like see everything there and tweak it and stuff. And
what are the benefits of Markdown?
It's easier to use than writing in HTML. If you know how you need to like add HTML tags to things for links and stuff, it's easier. It requires less keystrokes. And it kind of makes more sense. Like it's asterisk based instead of like having to remember caret m/close caret, like, you know, all that stuff.
That doesn't sound too hard.
So yeah. So it's pretty nice. I'm just like I said, I'm just getting into Markdown, but Typed is really nice. I've tried a few of them and
how
I like this
it?
One the most. It's I think 10 or 15 bucks.
And it's a Mac app, you said.
Yeah, it's a Mac app from Real Mac Software, and they've done a really good job with it.
Booyah. Buster, what do you got?
I got a game.
Okay, that works. I know you got a game.
It was the game that they showed off at the iPhone 6 event, Vainglory.
I've heard a little bit about this.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that the Scarf Guy?
Yeah, with Scarf Guy and the, you know, the heroes and you kill crystals and stuff.
Uh-huh.
It just came out, I think it was last week, maybe 2 weeks ago. But I don't play games a lot, but this one I've been kind of addicted to lately. And it's pretty badass. It's a multi-online battle arena where you just fight other people. You have like two teams with three people, and you have like these type of like World of Warcraft type characters where you just go in and level up within like this battle and try and kill each other. And it's pretty fun.
Nice. Did you say how much it was?
It's free. But you know, to unlock like certain heroes and stuff like that, you have to pay
and the
for
secret crystals and stuff.
Yeah, actually there's none of that. You just to unlock like the heroes that you want to play like every week, you have to pay for it. But they usually rotate, like you have like 6 free heroes out of 10 every week. So you kind of get to play everything. So you don't have to pay if you don't want to.
And you said, you don't normally play games, but this one you liked so much that you actually have been playing.
Yeah, it's been fun. Like I play with friends like me and Rob on Cult of Mac. We've mm-hmm. played together on like a team to try and beat people. And, you know, sometimes I get dominated and then sometimes it's pretty cool when you win and destroy their crystals. But you have to be really dedicated to the game. It takes at least like 15 to 25 minutes to finish one game. And if you try and, you know, leave, you get penalized for it. So it's like for hardcore iPhone gamers.
That's hilarious. 10 to 15 or 25 minutes is really dedicated. I'm like, I can think of some games where I'm spending a whole lot more than that. 10 to 25 minutes isn't bad at all, actually.
Really? Well, like an iPhone game, like usually like I pick it up, play for maybe 1-2 minutes, you know, just for some quick entertainment.
Actually, that's actually a good point. I get bored of iPhone games really fast. Yeah,
like a console game, sure, I can sit there and play for, you know, 4 hours straight, no problem. But yeah, I never have been like so engrossed in a video game like this one. I'll play like 5 matches and it's been 2 hours and it's 1 a.m. and I'm like,
that's usually what happens to me with Diablo on Xbox One. I sit down to play for like 20 minutes and 3 hours later I'm still like toiling through dungeons and stuff, gearing
what
up.
What I do with my life.
I'm gonna go next because I bet Leander is still searching frantically for something.
No, I got something. I actually know.
Oh, do you? Okay, Leander.
Well, it's not you. It's not new, but it's one of the few apps that I use all the time. It's Dark Sky, the weather warning app.
Yeah, yeah. Alex really likes this one.
Yeah, right. It's a good app.
Yeah, yeah. It's a great app. Beautiful looking, really, really nicely done. I'm just looking here at the global screen that gives you like a global radar view of the entire Earth and all the weather. It's like a jaw dropping, but it's super useful. Like we just had a bunch of the first rain in California for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been raining like for, you know, all over the weekend. And this thing, you know, gives you an alert when it's going to start raining. And you can look it up and see when it's going to stop raining. It's mm-hmm. really accurate. I actually find it really useful. Like I know there's some real weather geeks out there that really geek out about weather apps and stuff. But this one's like nice and simple. And it actually, I think, gives you useful information when you need it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's for light weather, you know.
Although it does have, I mean, it does get down to the nitty gritty, like it shows humidity and all that stuff. Like it'll show that stuff to you, but yeah, it's very simple to use.
Right. Yeah. I like it a lot and it's free.
No, it's not free.
Oh, isn't it? Okay.
No, cause I was going to download it and I remember paying something for it.
I think it's a couple bucks.
Yeah. It might be a couple bucks.
Yeah. It's worth it though.
Yeah. Cool.
It's worth it alone for being like, oh, I don't know if I need my umbrella or not. And then it sends you a notification that it's about to rain and you're like, oh yeah. Okay.
Like how far in advance does it send you those kind of notifications, Alex?
It's usually like 5 or 10 minutes.
Oh, so you pretty much have to have your umbrella with you at all times.
Exactly. It just validates your choice.
It's like it is raining right now. Yes, thank you. It would be really super cool if they could program it so that, you know, you got a notification an hour ahead of time. So before you left in the morning or something, you got a notification that it was going to rain in an hour.
Yeah, I bet you can. I think you can change how often you get it.
Well, I mean, according to Back to the Future 2, we're going to have the technology to control the weather in less than a year.
Dude, that already exists. They got that locked up in Antarctica, man.
You think so?
Yeah, I'm serious. That's how we fight like China and stuff.
We just send storms over there?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool technology. I'm going to have to read some more about that. All right, I got an app. I have been using an app called, this is an iPhone app. It's called Balanced. And it's a pretty simple app. Gosh, I'm trying to open my iPhone now. My Touch ID never works anymore. WTF. What it allows you to do is set daily, weekly, and monthly goals. So things that you want to do daily, weekly, and monthly. And then it kind of gently reminds you to do those things. Plus, it acts as the one place you can go to in your phone to, you know, remember the things that you wanted to do daily, weekly, and monthly. Because, you know, when you're really busy, you just kind of forget the things that you want to do to kind of keep your life in balance. Like, for instance, if you want to do yoga every day, if you want to read a book every day, if you want to exercise once a week. So the app allows you to keep track of all that stuff. It is free. It's really well designed. It's beautiful. And it works really well. And if you upgrade, I think it's like $4 to upgrade, which I actually haven't done yet. They add on a whole slew of extra features. So if you want to track how well you have been, you know, doing one of your goals over a period of time, that's something that you can do. You can see how often you've skipped certain tasks, how frequently you you meet any of your goals. That's all with the advanced features. But, you know, the basic features are actually really good. And since it's free, you should definitely download it. If you're looking for something to track goals in your daily life or weekly or monthly, this is the best app that I've found that actually lets you do that. And again, it's really well designed. It works really well, and it keeps getting better. What do you
use it for? Feed the dog.
Feed the dog. Do squats.
Talk to your wife.
Talk to people that you care about.
Call my mom.
major bong hits. You know, send your drug dealer a card. Anything that you need to remember, Leander.
That's really useful. I can't think of anything though. I mean,
talk to your kids. Rough one of them up.
Well, what's some good examples of things you'd use?
Okay, so for instance, I'll just read you some of the ones that are actually on my list. So I have read a book for 15 minutes daily, you know, because it's really easy for me to forget to do that. Exercise for 30 minutes, and that can be something really simple, like going to the gym or going on a walk or something. Take your vitamins. These are things that, you know, I try to do, you know, daily. So it's that kind of stuff, just like mundane routine stuff that
you... Sounds like someone who had severe brain damage needs.
Well, I did have severe brain damage when I was
younger.
Take
your vitamins, go to the gym, get up in the morning.
Yeah. That's a good one. Get up in the morning daily.
Do you really need reminders, that kind of stuff?
It's not necessarily reminders. It's just a list. I mean, it will remind you to do that stuff, but it's just a list of all the things that you're trying to do, you know, daily, weekly, monthly. So for me, it's just kind of good to open a list and see all the things that I want to do often. And just that in and of itself reminds me to do a lot of these things. So like take your vitamins. So for people that take vitamins, do you take vitamins, Leander?
Well, yeah. And what I usually, not vitamins, but when if I take like antibiotics or something like that.
Yeah, then exactly.
Then I just make a calendar alert for that.
You make a what?
Calendar. I just put it on my calendar.
That. So that it pops up on your phone with a reminder or something?
Yeah.
I don't want to do, you use the reminders app?
Yeah.
I hate reminders.
No, not the reminders app. I just make a calendar. You know, I make three calendar. If you take it three times a day, you make three different calendar entries, and then you have it repeat for 2 weeks or whatever.
And then you set like a reminder in your calendar three times a day.
Yeah.
And you're making fun of me. You think that is easier than just setting it one time and being like, I want to do this three times a day.
Well, you know, I only have to do this, you know, how often does this happen? Once every couple of years, you've got to take some antibiotics or whatever.
But for
other stuff, yeah, I try to use reminders, but I can never figure out how to get it to work.
You mean the reminders to pop up on your Mac or on your iPhone?
Yeah. So, you know, so either I send email to myself, which is my default way of doing it.
And that works for you?
Not really. Yeah, sometimes. Depends what it is.
Because I feel like I would just never see it. It would just go to the bottom of the pile.
Yeah. That's the problem. You know, that's the problem. And then you have to resend it to yourself, you know, like to so it's going to pop up the next day. And actually, some of these new things, like I've been using Google Inbox, that allows you to set reminders and it'll bring emails back, you know, at a certain time. That actually works pretty well. Or I put stuff in the calendar. Like I've been putting all my to-do lists as calendar items now, and I have them to repeat forever. So they keep popping up on my notification screen. The trouble is I've got so many notifications, I just turn them all off and I ignore them all.
I know, that's what happens to me too with every single to-do app I've ever used. That's why I feel like to-do apps have never worked for me, because I end up putting a bunch of stuff in there and then there ends up being so much stuff that I never actually look at it anymore.
Because it's so overwhelming.
It's just like there's too much crap in here. It's just clutter. Yeah,
I know.
It's where all my to-do items go to die, my to-do list. It's like things that I'm never going to do in my life is the things I put in that list. I just can't get it to work for me. Alex, you really like using to-do apps, don't you?
I use things, you know, every now and then. I don't live in it, but it's nice to have if I ever feel like overwhelmed and I need like nine things, you know, that are all random that I need to get accomplished.
Okay.
It works well for that.
You know, what's funny is I have found pen and paper works the best for me. Just write it down, and then that way I have a list that's static. Because my big problem is if I put down a list in one of these applications and I don't go look at the application, then I just forget about all of it. So I never actually end up getting any of my to-do items accomplished, except for the things that are like, you know, on fire that I have to do right away or someone's going to yell at me.
Well, I had a couple of good tips. Like someone I knew used to have, they had a list as well, a notebook, and she would rewrite that list every single day. And
what I do.
Yeah, and so she'd rewrite the list out, and like a lot of days she'd get nothing done, so she'd end up just copying the list. But it would remind her of all the things that she had to do. She'd also sort of color if stuff fell off the list, but mainly it was a reminder for her to, you know, to actually get to do something, to get these things achieved. And she was, and because of that, she was pretty productive. And I read another good one the other day as well, like someone who uses their passwords, right? They're always getting nagged to change their password at work. And so what they did is they changed their password to a phrase for something they want to get done, like quit smoking. So it was like, quit smoking, 1, 2, 3, you know, became that passive. Then every day they had to type that in. It was a reminder, you know, that they of this, whatever they were going to achieve that month. And they changed it month to month.
Yeah.
So every month it became a new thing. And so it became a super effective way of actually getting stuff, you know, this kind of big meta stuff done.
So my new passwords are going to be read book, 1, 2, 3, take vitamins, 3, 2, 1.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that sounds like a little bit more effort than I want to change all my passwords. Not to mention, if you have all your passwords be different, then there's no way to actually remember any of them.
Well, you change it. You use the first three letters of whatever site or service you're using, mm-hmm. and then something else.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll give that a shot.
You know, if it's like Amazon, it's AMA.
Gotcha.
Quit smoking, Z-O-N, 1, 2, 3.
So now you guys know Leander's Amazon password is AMA write blog post. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to put that password tip in my to-do list, and I'm going to take action on that sometime this week.
Okay.
Well, before we move on, so this is going to be fun. We have a all-new Get to Know Your Cultist, and I asked people on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast, for their questions and their comments, and we got a bunch of great stuff. But I do want to mention, this episode is also sponsored by Mite Teas. Leander, you're familiar with Mite Teas, aren't you?
Mite Teas, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. For those who have been following me a while, you probably know that I actually own Mite Teas. I started Mite Teas. So in a way, this episode is sponsored by me. So thank you, me, for supporting this episode. But in all seriousness, Mite Teas, we created a bunch of really great graphic tees. A lot of them are Apple-centric, so old vintage Apple products like the In Love with Lisa t-shirt, Steve Jobs t-shirts. And actually, the fun part is when I started this company several years ago, this is actually what got me connected with Leander, because Cole actually featured us, Leander.
Yeah.
And then I kept hounding her. And eventually she connected me with you. So kind of a little story behind them. But the reason that I wanted to support the show is because we have all these great Apple t-shirts left. So a lot of people that follow me know that I've been in the process of closing down Mite Teas for quite a while, but we still have these great Apple t-shirts left. And I was thinking, hey, what better way to, you know, sell some of these off than to hawk them off on all of our great listeners? But here's the thing. I'm going to be offering a 50% off code. So these are going to be extraordinarily discounted because already most of them are on sale. So if you are into Star Trek, if you're into Apple, which if you're listening to this show, you probably are, go check it out. MiteTees.com. It's MiteTees. My well-endowed Scottish female friend calls it Mightetees, but MiGhtTees, not mighty. A lot of people call it Mightetees. And use the code CULTCAST at checkout if you see something you like. Oh, we have some Wozniak t-shirts there too that actually Steve Wozniak has. He asked that we send him one. So we sent him one like 2 years ago. So I'd love to think about him wearing his own face on his own t-shirt around. Maybe when he does his new reality television show. I don't know. But in any case, check it out. If you guys like what you see, you'll get a great discount with code CULTCAST. Plus, you'll help me get rid of some of these great Apple teas I just have sitting around in my warehouse that we want to sell out of and give them to people who actually like to wear them. So I want to thank Mite Teas for supporting this episode. Thank you, Mite Teas. You're welcome. let's move on to Get to Know Your Cultist. This is the segment where oftentimes we have our listeners give us questions to talk about. These ones are all on our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheCultCast. And let's start with this one. I'm actually not sure if I want to hear Leander Keeney's answer on this. This one comes from Chris Rowe. What's the most embarrassing piece of technology you've bought?
Most embarrassing piece of technology I've bought?
Yeah, if you had to show it to your friends, you would be full of shame.
Oh, my.
I can go first if you want to think about it.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't you go first and I'll have a thing.
So I used to be really into PCs. And at one point in my life, I was building a lot of PCs. And I bought this really huge blue PC with a window in the side. And I thought it would be pretty super cool to install some neon lights in this thing. So I bought a bunch of computer neon lights and installed them in the window of this PC so that when you turned it on, you could see all the fans spinning and stuff. My friends thought it was pretty dorky, but I was pretty into it. And actually, you know what? Now that I'm describing it, I'm still not embarrassed about that.
It doesn't sound that. It sounds pretty. It actually sounds that embarrassing.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds awesome. Fine.
But now it kind of makes me want to build another one because it was pretty cool. You walk in and my computer kind of glowed blue and I put a bunch of fans in it. So it sounded like a jet turbine. Everyone thought it was really powerful. So that's my pick. Anyone else want to go next? No one's got any embarrassing tech that they actually want to share.
One time I bought a Razor scooter when I was a kid. That was kind of embarrassing.
How many years ago was this, Leander or Buster?
It was back in the 90s when Razor scooters were pretty cool.
Razor scooters were really cool. I bought a pair of really huge rollerblades one time because I was like, I'm going to get really into rollerblading, right? It's going to be great exercise. Yeah. So I bought these really like huge rollerblades with giant like racing wheels on them because I was like, how hard could rollerblading be? And I took them to the park, and I'd never rollerbladed before. And we have a park here that's just a big circle. So I was kind of like cruising around in this circle, and the park was really busy. And what I didn't realize is some of the pathway actually had a serious decline on it. So I got going around this corner, and it was on a decline. And I was like, I can't stop. I don't know how to stop, right? So I'm like flailing my arms out, and I'm coming around this corner, and there's people everywhere. So I decide last minute, I'm like, I have to bail on these things. So I try to jump into the grass off to the side of the path, but I don't make it at all. And I just fall into the path and I roll. And everyone's looking at me, right? Because I'm probably going like 25 miles an hour because I decided buying the racing edition of the rollerblades were cool. And this really cute girl watches the entire thing happen. Nice. And she comes over really concerned and she goes, oh my gosh, are you okay? And I'm like sitting there groaning and holding myself. And I say, it's in my moment of agony, I say, it's okay. I've only hurt my pride, which wasn't true. I landed on my tailbone and I bruised it. And I couldn't sit down without hurting myself for like a month after that.
You didn't leave bits of skin all in the tarmac?
Oh, I'm sure I did.
Like a crayon?
I was surprised I didn't break anything. I bit it so hard and I wasn't wearing any protective gear whatsoever because I didn't want to look uncool.
Right, no elbow pads, no knee pads.
Nothing, not even a helmet.
Did you have a tight Lycra sweatband around your massive Jufro?
I was wearing a nylon like unitard. That was probably a bad decision. With no shirt on.
Yeah, right. But you looked like you knew what you were doing, though.
I there's no way I looked like I knew what I was doing. I was like, even from the moment I got up onto those skates, I knew it was a bad idea. But once you get going, it's like, dude, how do you stop when you're going down a hill?
Stopping, yeah. My problem is skiing.
Yeah, have you bailed a couple times?
I don't know how to ski. Yeah, I almost killed myself the last time. I flew into a pylon. I had to bail out into a big snowdrift. And I was really lucky that I did, you know, because I was really out of control.
Yeah, I've tried snowboarding a couple times and that didn't end well for me either.
Actually, that was an embarrassing piece of tech. I had these, I didn't actually buy these. They were sent to the office to review their, special, LCD darkening snow goggles, excuse me. Mm-hmm. So I didn't, you know, we'd had them forever and I hadn't checked them. And, when I went up onto the mountain and I tried to turn it on, it went all dark. Well, it was sort of half dark and half light. The LCD had somehow cracked or something inside. Mm-hmm. So I could only, you know, half it was blinding and half it was completely dark. So that was, I must have looked a little ridiculous. Kind of like David Bowie there with the Aladdin Sane slashed down my face. So
yeah. It's
like a black LCD.
I know that look. Alex, Buster, you guys want to chip in anything before we move on? You could skip if you want. If you don't have anything, let's just move it on.
Yeah, I'll skip.
Okay.
Nothing I can say on the podcast.
You'll That's a hard one because, I mean, fashion technology is not that embarrassing. It's not like fashion choices, exactly. Is it? Or haircuts or... It's like, you know, it's like the kind of bands you were into, right? The most embarrassing 80s band.
Leander, I bet you liked some pretty gnarly music growing up.
I just rediscovered Blancmange. I don't know if they ever made any hits.
Who?
Yeah, I've never heard of them.
British 80s synth band.
Yeah. Of course you're into Blancmange. I've never even heard of that band.
One of their albums was called Second helpings or something. So stupid. But they were playing at Whole Foods the other day.
So they've
big hit singles. I'm like, oh my god, I remember that. And it's actually a great song.
Wait. They were playing the song,
the
not
band
the
band itself.
Not the band.
Yeah, not the
band.
Not
was the at Whole Foods.
I thought you meant the band was playing at Whole Foods. I was like, wow, they really fell far from right. their days of fame.
I wouldn't be surprised they weren't still playing though.
Oh, hilarious. Okay, here's another one from Tim Morrison. He says, handkerchief, Kleenex, or sleeve. I'm assuming he means if you've sneezed.
I don't use any of them. I'm just talking right out with my finger.
Leonard just sneezes into the air. It's like a big poof of steam that comes out. He doesn't care who's around.
Wait, is he
talking about sneezing?
I'm going to go ahead and assume that that's exactly what he's referring to. Handkerchief is pretty old school. Right. I don't know if those... That's kind of a like a 1900s type sneezing device, I think. A handkerchief, right?
So like an old band type thing.
Yeah. So when you guys have to sneeze or you have to wipe your nose or something, handkerchief, Kleenex, or sleeve?
Will you?
I think I might be a sleeve too. I actually hate to admit that, but you know, it's like it's just always
also,
there.
Also, when I blow my nose, it's my sleeve.
So we know that Alex wipes his butt with his sleeve. So never shake Alex's hand. Anyone else before we move on? Buster?
Probably sleeve.
Oh, wow. Bunch of sleeves here.
When you sneeze?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I like sneeze into my elbow pit.
Yeah, I do that sometimes too. He wasn't very specific, so I'm going to go ahead and go with that. This is another one from Keith Burton. This one's actually Apple related, so this is good. Apple suddenly gets out of the phone business. Do you go Android, BlackBerry, or Windows Phone? This is Keith Burton, if I didn't say that.
Man, I think maybe I would just go... dumb phone and just, you know,
Android, dude.
Oh,
you'd get a flip, like a little flip phone.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Anna Winter's doing it. It's the cool new thing,
right?
Oh, I bet it is.
Yeah, the flip phones are coming back,
dude. Really?
Yeah, that's all these celebrity pictures. Rihanna uses one, Kim uses one.
Yeah, why be attached to the internet 24/7 in your
Rihanna
pocket?
Uses a flip phone?
Yeah,
didn't she have a bunch of like nude photos leak?
That's why.
Well, I'm sure they also have like an iPhone in their purse, but you know, they're spotted with the flip phone because it's cool.
I would definitely go Android.
I'd probably get an HTC One or something.
I would go pure Android though. I would not go any kind of flavor.
Well, the HTC One's really nice for an Android phone. It's really well made. I would also like to try a new Nexus. Those actually look kind of cool. I wish it wasn't so freaking big, but I like the hardware and software. It looks pretty nice.
I don't know. It's too geeky. I don't like the look of it. I don't like the way it works. The logic of it is all mental.
Yeah, I do think Android's very geeky.
But, you know, the thing about Android is if you go pure Android, it actually looks way better. Like the flavored Androids are the ones that look like crap. They're the ones that never get updated. If you just go pure Android, it looks nice. It works better when Google releases updates. You actually get the updates because they don't have to be adapted in any way. I was surprised because, you know, you guys know I get an Android a lot of crap and it's terrible UI on this show. But I have seen some pure Android versions that actually look pretty good. So, okay, we got Brian West, and he's asking, if you were a breakfast cereal, what breakfast cereal would you be and why? Well, that's easy, Brian West. I'd probably be...
Are you serious?
I'd probably be Lucky Charms, and it's because I'm magically delicious.
Lucky Charms are magically delicious.
Who's got one?
You'd be Weetabix because you're all soggy.
You could eat Weetabix dry, Leander. I'd be crunchy, crunchy and good for your colon.
Yeah, like it's like eating a bunch of sawdust, right? It'll like, squish together.
I don't know how that cereal still gets sold.
Right.
That's a British thing, isn't it? Or like a European thing. I don't think I've seen Weetabix in the US.
Yeah, I think it's British. I saw something the other day. I was like, oh my God, really? It's just horrible. It's only good if you layer about an inch of sugar on top.
Yeah.
And then it becomes like a Pop-Tart, right?
Then
like
it's Frosted Mini-Wheats, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The American version.
Right. All right.
Who else has got a cereal? Alex, Buster?
I don't know what I'd be, but I guess if I have to choose my favorite, is that maybe Corn Pops?
Oh, once you pop?
You can't stop.
Wait, is that Corn Pops?
No, that's not Corn Pops. that's Pringles. But it should be Corn Pops. No, it's like I gotta have my pops.
Alex, you could be Kix, kid approved,
magically delicious,
or Cheerios.
No, that's gotta be Leander's Cheerios.
That's right.
All right, let's do a couple more. This one's from Adam Purves. I like Adam's last name. Adam says, if you could bring back one product from Apple's past, which one and why? Cheers, guys. Leander, let's start with you.
One product from Apple's past?
Yeah, just one.
First thing that popped in my head was the Newton, but I guess that has kind of come back already, right, with the iPod and the iPad.
Oh, man, that was going to be my pick.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's okay.
Sorry to ruin it.
The Newton was cool, though. I've been, as many of you guys know, I've been searching for YouTube videos on the Newton, posting some like little tidbits I find here on the show. There's a lot of great Newton commercials on YouTube, and the Newton actually looked pretty amazing for the time. You could send a fax. You could send a fax from the Newton. How cool is that?
I can't send a fax from, anywhere now.
My MacBook, yeah.
Yeah, right. Buster, what do you got?
I didn't even hear the question. Sorry, dude.
The question was, if you could bring back one Apple product from the past, what would it be?
One Apple product. Man, I loved that Sunflower Mac, the adjustable stand. I thought that was really awesome. Now like the iMac, it's just all one piece, but I'd bring like that design back.
Yeah, that was a good computer. My old roommate had one of those.
Or the iPod Classic, bring back the hits.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one too. Alex, what do you got?
The Hi-Fi.
Oh, the Hi-Fi speaker. Yeah, that was a cool speaker.
And that was actually reasonably priced too, wasn't it? $250?
I thought it was like $300 or something. Yeah,
it's like $900. It was pretty reasonable.
Was it?
No, it was not $900.
Leander, it looked good, though.
It looked awesome. It looked like a prop out of a Ridley Scott movie. Leander, did you actually ever get to hear the hi-fi, which was, for those that don't know, it was like that huge iPod, like hi-fi dock that you could plug your iPod into and it would play music?
Yeah, I never spent any, I hate to say it, quality time with the thing, but... Yeah. I went to the launch event when Steve Jobs unveiled it down at Apple in Cupertino.
Yeah.
And they did it at the town hall, which is like their sort of auditorium. And then behind that, they had a bunch of offices. They converted into into a home. Mm-hmm. And so there was like one that was just like a living room, and they had this fake kitchen and they had this fake den. And Jobs took all these reporters around these different rooms. There was maybe, I don't know, five or six different rooms. It's kind of weird. And you could tell he was hating every minute of it. And that's why I tried to shake his hand. And he just stood there like a doorman.
He didn't shake your hand back?
No, he just stared at me like I was
so
a
worm. You put your hand out to shake Steve Jobs' hand and you just sat there?
And just stood there and just stared at me.
No way.
Wow. Yeah. So I had to pull it back. Right?
You had to pull it back all awkwardly? Oh, my gosh. Did you at least try to, like, psych and, like, rub the side of your head before you walked away?
I should have done. No,
that would have been the greatest thing to do in that.
Oh, man, yeah, I wish I'd done that. But I had a notebook, and a pen because I was a quote unquote reporter. I asked him a question, and he gave me the curtest answer.
Wow!
But he was really delighted about that thing. From what I can remember,
that's stone cold. I can't believe he would do that.
Yeah. I mean,
who does that, right?
He actually did it once before too. On another keynote when I tried to buttonhole him.
Really? So wait, did you try to shake his hand then as well?
Yeah, I did.
And he just didn't reciprocate?
No. That's
so awesome. So Steve Jobs not once but twice. Denied your handshake.
What did he say anything to you or did he just look at you?
Just looked at me.
Did he make eye contact with you or was he just kind of trying to pretend like you were...
I marched right up to him and I stuck my hand out. Hey, Steve, it's Leander from Wired.
Wow.
And he just sort of, stared at me. And so I was like, oh, great. Okay. Well, I love the new hi-fi, Steve, do you really think that you know, people are going to like it? Well, shouldn't it come in black? Or I don't know, something stupid.
Shouldn't it come in black? I'm sure he loved that question.
And then he went, no. And it moved on.
Gosh.
That is an excellent story.
Yeah, he just, you know, he just didn't have those, he just didn't bend to those social norms. I mean, there's many times when I've not wanted, I've met people and I'm like, I really don't want to shake their hand.
Dude, yeah, even people but that you don't like, but you still do it.
You do it anyway.
Yeah.
I recently had an encounter with somebody and I was like, I'm not going to shake his hand. I knew I was going to meet him. I'm like, I hate that guy so much. I'm not going to shake his hand. And I was psyching myself up. I was thinking about it for days. Because the minute I meet him, the hand's out like on a spring.
And you got your arm around him. You're shaking him.
Exactly.
You're my favorite person.
Well, I did it anyway, you know, like, and
like,
and
have a Stella.
And I was gritting my teeth because I didn't, you know, I didn't want to do it, but it's just become, you know, it's almost like a reflex. So it's just something you can't, the consequences of not doing it are so, you know, potentially catastrophic.
I would feel so incredibly awkward that I couldn't handle it, you know?
Right.
I wouldn't want to stand there. I'd be like, this is really weird.
Yeah, exactly. But obviously, I am not the first person whose hand he has not shook.
No, it's probably most people.
Right. He probably only shakes his wife's hand.
And Walt Mossberg.
You know. You're right, exactly. And people up on stage right at a keynote. You know,
I doubt some of the execs have even shook his hand. Bob Mansfeld? No way. No, he's never touched Steve Jobs' hand. Johnny Ive has probably, you know, shaken it a couple times.
Well, apparently Steve has huge hands too, they say.
Really?
Because I interviewed one executive and he was like,
but we'll never know.
But he was saying that they never built smaller PowerBooks or MacBooks. This is a PowerBook era, right? And he was saying, yeah, you know, that's the reason they never made a 12-inch PowerBook. They did actually, but they launched it in Japan, right? And it was such a big hit there that they brought it back.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. It was apparently, this is some reason why they never made an 11. This is before they actually did make one. But before when they didn't, when they didn't make one, it was because Steve had huge hands and he couldn't.
He had like Arsenio Hall hands.
Yeah, a tiny little keeper.
You know what? I don't think we can top that story. I think we should go ahead and just wrap it up there.
Yeah, I think so.
Hey, thanks to everyone for all of your great Get to Know Your Cult Cast questions. Next time we do it, if you want to contribute, you can always head on over to facebook.com/TheCultCast. That's always where we ask people for their contributions. I want to thank everyone who contributed, and we had a lot of great questions there, so thank you for that. That's all the cultcast we have for you guys this week, but if you want to deny our handshakes, you can hang out with us on Twitter and, you know, maybe ask us something and then not reply to us when we respond. I'm at Airfun. Leander's L. Caney, Buster's BST3R, Alex's Alex E. Heath, and of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how to use the world of Apple, make sure you're following Cult of Mac. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Yes, you should write about that on Cult of Mac. Okay. The time that Steve Jobs denied my handshake twice.
And who's not going to wear it if it's going to save your life? I was like, oh, wow. Really?
Damn. Get Bob Mansfeld one of those. Right. In fact, while you're at it, send one to Waz.
Did you see the main comments on that post about the unlocking the door? Someone said, all he's going to do is lean against the door and it'll pop right open.
That's actually pretty good.
I know. Well, we should say that one for the... for the podcast.
I don't normally like mean comments, but if they're creative, I'm like, yeah, it's pretty good. Then it's like, it's excusable.
Yeah.